took my son out to learn to ride a bike. Holy cow, was that awesome. And sadly, it was something that I had been putting off for no reason other than I just wanted to do it right. And I felt like if I did it rushed, it would stress him out and it wouldn't be an enjoyable thing. And I was waiting for this like perfect moment to take him out on the bike. And, you know, I'd blame the rain or other things, you know, from keeping us from doing it. And finally, it was a real hot day and I was like, let's do it. Let's do it. And it was amazing. As you would hope, you know, the first time your kid gets on a bike with training wheels would be. And I felt guilty and bad for putting it off for so many weeks. And he was so sweet about it and just kept asking, like, Dad, when am I going to learn to ride a bike? And here I am telling him, like, next weekend. The whole summer is going to go by if I'm not careful. And so taking him out on the bike, man, it was so great. It was awesome to watch until these neighborhood kids came by on their bikes. Maybe they're a half a year older than him. And they're like, we don't ride with training wheels. And I was like, cool, that's great. I'm happy for you. This is my son's first time on a bike. They don't care. They start circling him like a shark on their bikes. And they're like, we don't ride with training wheels. We don't ride with training wheels. Hey, we don't ride with training wheels. And I felt like punching all of them in the face. I was like, get away from my kid. He does ride with training wheels. It's his first damn time on a bike. Scram. Eventually they left and Javier wasn't fazed anyways, but it was a moment where I wanted to just whoop some kids' asses.
Welcome to the Dadwell Podcast. I'm your host, Antonio Garcia. Dadwell & Company is an independent media project at the intersection of creativity and fatherhood. The Dadwell Podcast features makers, artists, musicians, authors, filmmakers, and designers who are raising the creative bar while simultaneously raising small humans.
This episode is a little different than the long-form interviews leading up to it. I wanted to take a second and reflect on the last six interviews, things I've learned, stuff I'm thinking about, and also a little bit of poetry as I draw to a close season one. But first things first, enormous shout out to everyone who is liking the show and promoting the show, word of mouth or otherwise. It's so huge and it matters in ways you have no idea. There are some days that I am just so in my head about this show and so full of negative self-talk and wondering, like, is anybody listening? I mean, I know I can look at the analytics and I can see people are listening, but there's just some days that this just feels like a waste of time, maybe, or like it doesn't matter to anybody. I don't know. There's some days when I'm just quite low about the show and wondering if it's worth it. And then I get an email or a text message or a DM from a total stranger who just says, hey, been listening to the podcast. Love it. Or, hey, have you heard of this other show? I think you'd really like it. It has a lot to do with your content. Or let me introduce you to a friend of mine. I think he'd be a great guest. You have no idea what that means when those things hit my inbox or my phone, especially when I'm in doubt. It makes my week getting something like that from somebody above and beyond ratings and reviews on iTunes. Like, that's awesome. And I love that. But man, a simple note that'll supercharge me for days afterwards. So yeah, if you're thinking about reaching out or you like the show, but haven't said anything, man, shoot me a note. It's awesome. Very motivating. You can send it, you know, through all the channels, but if you want to just email me directly, it's antonio@dadwell.co. That's my direct email address. I read everything in that inbox, and I'd love to hear from you. Thank yous aside, I'm so excited about this show. It's everything to me right now, and I'm having a ton of fun, and I'm learning a lot, and feel very grateful for the opportunity and the honor, really, to bear witness to these guys' stories, have them on the show, and make space for men to talk about stuff that, you know, we don't ever really get a chance to. Or if we are afforded the chance, it's so ingrained in us and we've been so programmed that we don't even know where to start talking about feelings, which is just crazy to me. I mean, my God, it's 2019. We should not be afraid of therapy or talking about feelings or getting a bunch of guys together to learn from each other and share ideas and notes and tips and
all that stuff. So in some small way, I hope that the show is planting a seed for you in your own life to start to dig into some of this stuff with people you know. So I don't know if I have any key takeaways or big learnings at this point. I feel like it's still too soon to say I'm recognizing themes across these interviews, but one thing I will say is that I am learning a lot and trying really hard to apply the wisdom of guests on the show to my life as quickly as I can. Like, as soon as it's shared, I try to figure out a way to put it into action or modify it to fit my life. And I hope listeners are doing the same, you know, hearing this stuff and are motivated to try.
So here's a real quick summary of each episode from season one. Episode one with David Siren, to me, that's the quintessential designer's episode. David is a designer's designer. He's married to a designer and photographer. He's the son of a designer. His mother was an artist. If you're about design, this is the episode for you. He talks a lot about those relationships and the industry, and it's honestly why I started the series with David's interview.
I think with David Siren, there was a real moment of clarity and reflection for me as an only child, this feeling of kind of control and defending personal time and unwillingness to sort of share that, even with your own spouse or children. I don't know if that's unique to being an only child, but it was certainly something that I had in common with David as we talked. And I want to work on that. It's not helpful. And I feel like the more I've let go of some of that and said yes to things that I know are going to take me away from time on the computer, making something, or a project idea I have, trying to give my time away. I'm trying to say yes to more family engagements. I'm trying to say yes to silly little things my son wants to experiment with or explore. I'm instead of saying, hey, maybe next weekend, or can we do that later? I'm forcing myself to say yes and drop whatever I'm doing and try. And I guess, yeah, if I had a deadline or something was really crushing down on me, that doesn't work. But that's on me. Like, I should figure out how to not have a deadline that close so that I can put things down and play. And so that's a takeaway from a bunch of these interviews has certainly been the way that I'm thinking about and managing time.
Episode two with Tanner Woodford. That might be the most honest and heartfelt and vulnerable episode so far. It's the one that I've received the most feedback, positive support from friends and strangers who have reached out and said, Tanner's story really spoke to me. It reminded me of relationships I've had with men and father figures and my own dad. And it was profound to hear how much that interview resonated with listeners, and the response was quite beautiful. I'm so grateful that he was as open and candid about his life, because I think it made for a much better interview. It brought a lot of heart to the show, and in some ways opened up the possibility for future guests to speak more freely.
Tanner had suggested getting away from the house, staying someplace outside the house overnight. And I think that's an amazing idea. And my wife thought it was too. And so for Father's Day, she gave me the gift of a one-night stay at the Midtown Hotel, which, if you're not from Chicago or you've never been there, Midtown Hotel is a new hotel affiliated with the Midtown Athletic Club. And so if you're into fitness or that sort of thing, it's a super dope hotel. It's not anywhere near you know, downtown and all those sorts of things, which I really appreciated. So it was one night, you know, it wasn't anything fancy. I sat poolside, I caught up on back issues of GQ, I ordered food to my room, I watched a ton of horror movies that I knew Maris would never want to watch with me, and I just enjoyed the space, super comfy bed, super fancy shower, and came home the next day and just felt refreshed and recharged, and it was such a gift.
Episode three, Creighton Berman. If you are a solopreneur or an entrepreneur and you're about that hustle, this is the interview you will want to start with. Creighton has launched successfully several different businesses and permutations of his brand, and now with Manuel, he's seen increasing success, and he's just got a great attitude about it, and in quite surprising ways hasn't allowed all of that hustle and that grind to wear him down or become all-consuming or keep him from his family. He's figured out how to strike that balance while constantly producing new and interesting products. De-emphasizing the need to constantly make is way harder than it sounds. I think treating time differently, trying to find a way to say yes, I haven't regretted it yet. You know, I've been like, cool, let's do that. All right, no, let's do it. And by the end, it's awesome. You know, my son wanted me to watch some movie that he was trying to figure out the words to a song, and he would sing it, and I knew they were wrong, and I'm like, Javier, I don't think those are the lyrics. He's like, well, then you have to watch it, and you have to tell me what they're saying, because that's what I think it is. And I sat through like a full-length Curious George movie to figure out the lyrics to some song, and we did it. We figured it out, and it's, you know, could I have spent an hour in more productive ways? Totally. Did I do that on a Saturday when I could have been doing something else? Absolutely. Did we figure out the lyrics to the Christmas song in the Curious George movie? Fuck yeah. And that's more fun. All right, I'm talking about it now. I certainly wouldn't have been talking about a run to Home Depot on the show. So yeah, that was worth it. You know, say yes. Find a way to say yes.
Episode 4 with Sean Smith. What down-to-earth, honest person he is. I felt like his interview was so calming and peaceful, and there was just so much wisdom rolled up in that interview. Similarly to Tanner, he spoke from the heart about deeply personal issues of loss and sacrifice, and I just really respect him and his point of view. It was especially helpful, I think, for me to hear someone who I've recognized and admired for their success talk about pacing himself a little bit better and being kinder to himself about these sort of expectations and criteria for success that we put on ourselves as creative people. I really appreciated Sean's perspective. Episode 5, Dave Reedy, the first non-designer on the show. I wanted to include someone that didn't fit the general mold of visual designer or communication designer, although he's incredible at communicating. He's probably the most articulate and thoughtful and considerate guest so far. Perfect example, didn't want to mention his kids by name out of consideration for their privacy. He said, they're not public figures like me or my wife, Tiffany, who is an actor. And so if it's cool with you, can we just refer to them as the elder and the younger? And I thought that was so kind and thoughtful, and I really appreciated that he wanted that for his kids.
Other things I've been trying to apply is, you know, both Sean and Dave Reedy talked about trying to reduce the emphasis on making something amazing every time you get creative time. That very unreasonable idea that you're gonna get in the studio and produce something epic every single time. I mean, it really just sets you up for failure because you're not gonna do that every single time. Nobody has that batting average. And yet you think you will, and so that time becomes ultra precious because that's the only window you have with which to make something epic, and you've got 1 hour to do it, so go. And I think Sean had said, you know, it could just be organizing your pens. That's still progress. I love that. That made me feel so good. It took the pressure off of me to do great work all of the time in a consistent way. It's just, it's never going to happen. And so any time in the studio is valuable time and worthwhile time, even if it is just organizing your files or preparing space for the next time that you're in there. That's huge. I think there's a lot of pressure we put on ourselves to make all the time. And there's just other things that we can be doing that are
as enriching and meaningful, or maybe even more so. Last episode, episode 6, new dad alert. Edwin was just a few months into the birth of his son and already has this confidence and calm well beyond someone who's in the fog of being a new dad and having a newborn. I mean, man, he was able to get there in a way that's like, it's taken me 5 years to come around to some of this stuff, and he's already there with a five-month-old. You know, just this prioritization and fetish we put on the hustle. And for him to say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I think I am a multifaceted person, and I am more than my work and my studio and my business partnership. There are a lot of dimensions of me that I think are worthwhile and I want to explore and invest in, and they have nothing to do with work. Wow. That's amazing. I needed that reminder really badly at that moment. And Edwin's already there. So yeah, those are just hot takes. Thinking about the last couple of episodes, thinking about the things that have stuck around in my head long after the conversation concluded. I think as I progress through this, I'll see bigger ideas throughout all of this and start to be able to synthesize that and put it back out there. It might be in the form of an episode, but it might be a book or something else. If you've got ideas for what that could be, shoot me a note. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So my man David Willens in the UK runs a blog and a consultancy called Being Dads. Really amazing. And you should definitely check it out. Does great work. And he posted this poem by Donald Justice called Men at 40. I'm going to read it. I don't read poetry. Professionally, but I want to read this poem because I don't know. I haven't really encountered anything that summarizes the feeling I have as a father at 40, or just a dad, or just a person at kind of a midpoint in their life. Like this, it is just so good. So here it is, Men at 40 by Donald Justice. Men at 40 learn to close softly the doors to rooms they will not be coming back to. At rest on a stair landing, they feel it moving beneath them now like the deck of a ship, though the swell is gentle. In deep in mirrors, they rediscover the face of the boy as he practices tying his father's tie there in secret, and the face of that father, still warm, with the mystery of lather. They are more fathers than sons themselves now. Something is filling them. Something that is like the twilight sound of the crickets, immense, filling the woods at the foot of the slope behind their mortgaged houses. Oh! God, that is good. I don't know about you, but I haven't read anything that accurate in a long time. The balance of reflection and bittersweetness, I don't know. That poem is fire. I keep coming back to that opening. Men at 40 learn to close softly the doors to rooms they will not be coming back to. Oh, man. Whew. I keep that in my mind all the time. This idea that we are reconciling at midpoint, or as we become fathers, the futures that are no longer within reach. And on one hand, that could feel really depressing. You know, at 40, with what I've accomplished and what I've done, I can tell you I'm never going to be an astronaut. That's not going to happen. You know, there are some things that, like, no matter how bad I want them, they're not going to happen. And that's hard to swallow, I think. It's real hard. There are people, I think, who can't take that, you know, who instead slam doors on their wives, on their kids. They bail. They look for some kind of fountain of youth in a sports car or a girlfriend half their age. I don't know. People who have a real hard time with the idea of closing doors. Desperately checking the locks and door handles on all of them, trying to pry them open. For what? So, I leave you with that kick-ass poem by Donald Justice. Holy smokes. That's The Reflection, end of season one. I hope you liked the little bonus episode. We'll be back in full effect with a full-length episode next week with George A. of Greater Good Studio. Really, really powerful episode, I promise. I'm your host, Antonio Garcia. This is Dadwell. Cheers. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Dadwell Podcast. If you were inspired by what you heard, please take a few minutes to write a quick review on iTunes. As a first season podcast, this helps a ton, and it would mean a lot to me. Dadwell is on Twitter, Instagram, Medium, and all the other relevant social networks, so visit dadwell.co to find links to all of them. While you're there, you can also subscribe to the Dadwell newsletter and even cop some fresh Dadwell merch. Additionally, you can support this project by becoming a patron via patreon.com/dadwell. That's patreon.com/dadwell. Thanks again for listening. My name is Antonio Garcia, and we'll talk again soon. Cheers.